This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala al-mabuthi rahmatin lil-alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm al-thalith min shahri rabi'i al-awwal 1445 al-muwafiq li 19 من شهر سبتمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today I believe we are supposed to be dealing with a new chapter which is استحباب بيان الكلام. We're done with that. باب الوعظ والاقتصاد فيه. 91. باب الوعظ والاقتصاد فيه. New chapter that will be dealing with الوعظ. الوعظ is admonition, reminding others about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Sending that which benefits to others, advising others to do the right thing. So basically this is wa'z. You advising others to do the right thing, whether you do it in public or you do it in secret or you go and talk to the people individually, in whatever form you are doing it, as long as you are advising people to do the right thing, this is what is called al-wa'z. وَالِاقْتِصَادُ فِيهِ. And also being moderate in the wa'z. Being moderate in the wa'z. Yeah, because human beings, it is part of our nature to get bored of something that is repeated many times. Yeah, something that is repeated many times. That's why Quran is amazing. Different taste and different approach. Because Quran, the more you repeat it, the more you enjoy reading it, and the more you enjoy wanting to hear it from others. Yeah. That's why Imam Shatibi says, وَتَرْدَادُهُ يَزْدَادُ فِيهِ تَجَمُّلًا. Repeating the Quran many times, it is making the Quran more beautiful in the heart of the audience and the reader also as well. Other than that, you just have to do this work. I mean, this that which is narrated to us from the companions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yatakhawwaluhum bil maw'idha. If you have it every day, people will get bored. You must have a break to keep them interested in meeting you once again. They have it today, they have it tomorrow, day after tomorrow, the same thing, you know. And that's why sometimes people, when they come to the masjid, the first thing they do on Friday is to look for the wall so that they can lean, because they know they're going to sleep. Why is that? Because the khatib is going to give them the same thing that has been recited maybe 20, 30 years ago. The same thing. In some places, it is the culture. You just have to read the same thing which maybe great-great-grandparents have been reading. Every Friday when you come, is the same thing you're going to listen. And sometimes also we address people in different language in the way they don't understand. I went to a place. This place, Islam is new in that place. The Muslims are the minority, very minority actually. And those who speak Arabic language, they are very, very few. But they insist that the khutbah completely has to be done in that. So what kind of benefits people are going to be generating from that? Nothing. And throughout the week, you don't have people coming to your classes, if you do have classes, actually. But then Friday is the only time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing everyone to you. Everyone comes on Friday. You know, subhanAllah, even those who don't pray, sometimes they come for Friday to pray. So that's a very unique opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the khatib, so that he can address the heart of the people to make sure that he keep them, their iman intact. You Allah. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, قُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. Those who are the companions, رُوَادُ الْمَسَاجِدْ, regular attendance masjid goers, you know. Companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you want to see the best example of going to the masjid and not missing the prayer, read about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, I witness a moment, الرجل يهادى بين الرجلين. A person will be carried by two brothers, two men, to bring him to the masjid. You know, he cannot even raise up his feet. He will be making line with the feet. You know that kind of thing, right? People are helping a person, holding his hand, but he cannot raise up his leg. So the legs will be dragging on the earth. Why? Because he doesn't want to pray at home. He's sick, but he will be begging people, please, I want the masjid. Masjid, masjid. These are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't want to miss a single prayer in the masjid. And subhanAllah, those best generation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised, they also were like that. They mentioned about Sa'ib al-Musayyib, you know, to have, I think, 20 years or 25 years. The man said he never listened to the adhan for a single prayer for the period of 20-something years when he was out of the masjid. 20 years continuously, the adhan is always meeting him in the masjid. 20 years continuously. We're not talking about missing the prayer. Even the adhan he doesn't miss. He's in the masjid when the adhan comes. You Allah, that's why they succeed. And we fail because our job is more important than coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayers. They can miss the prayer, you can miss the prayer, they can miss the prayer as long as we have something that we call important. Not knowing that the most important thing is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for. Whatever you're doing, you can sacrifice those 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just go pray. Come back to your thing and continue. Finish. You got the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will put barakah in whatever you do it. You know, they mention, that is, for those of you who speak Arabic, I don't know whether this book is translated into English language, written by Sheikh Abdul Razak Badr, the son of Sheikh Al-Abbad Abdul Muhsin in Medina, one of the great scholars in this time of ours. He wrote a simple book about ta'zim as-salah. Ta'zim as-salah. Respecting the prayer. Very interesting book. Small, but subhanAllah, you will see a lot of things that will motivate you, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, to be mustaqim when it comes to praying in the masajid and having khushu' and valuing the prayer. So, he mentioned some of the righteous scholars. No matter whatever they are doing, if the muadhin start making the adhan, they put it down. One of them, they saw him, he raised up, he used to cut woods and sell them, you know? So he raised up the axe. He's going to hit, and then the muadhin says, Allah, he put it down. He just hit and then gave it aside. He says, no, this is Allah's time. Keep it aside. You might find it so silly or so, you know, insignificant. Wallahi, it is very significant. Because if a person does this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the bigger things comes, you will see him being more serious. It seems so simple. But you have to train yourself to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for wisdom and for an objective, and that objective must be fulfilled by you before you go back to Him. So you must train yourself that these few amounts of times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from you, you know, they're very few. You must train yourself that these are the most valuable time you have in this dunya. You Allah, they're the most valuable time you have in this dunya. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, the most valuable time you have in the dunya is when you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alal itlaq, there is no time whatsoever that you are so valuable than this time. And therefore, you should understand that whatever you are doing, you should say to yourself, the priority is with the ibadat when their time arrives. And subhanAllah, Rabbul Alameen, knowing the nature of human beings, you know, he did not take from you a lot. Otherwise, most of us will not do, you know. Allah did not take a lot. How long do you spend when you pray Zuhr prayer? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know. Maximum it's 7 to 10 minutes. And these are the best ones. Otherwise, in some places we are talking about less than 5 minutes, they were done. Allah did not take a lot. So why can't you be consistent in the way the predecessors were? So back to the topic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although the companions, they are regular attendants to the masjid and wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, they try to go and catch up whatever they can get from him. But still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't give them continuous mawaidha. Yeah. So if this is the attitude of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should take this and apply it with our people more, because they are more distracted. How many people have the time? No, they have the time. But how many people have the courage, you know, to sit down and listen to a lecture that extended to 30 minutes? You know, nowadays people don't have time to listen to lectures and beneficial things when they exceeded 2-3 minutes. Yeah, and that's where you can see the kind of life we're living in nowadays. Everyone is busy. Busy with what? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Busy with what? And you cannot sacrifice in 1 hour in your life on the weekly basis to listen to something that is beneficial to your life. Everything has to be just 2-3 minutes and then you listen. If it goes more than that, you don't have time for that. And add to that, things also have to be funny for you to listen. If a person is not saying something that is funny, you have no interest to that. A Muslim should know that when it comes to religious matters, we're not talking about jokes here. There is no joke in religious matters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was serious whenever he talks about those religious matters. Don't have public dunya lectures, make jokes and let people laugh, it's okay. But when it comes to religious matters, if you have too much jokes in it, trust me, people will end up getting your jokes but not getting any benefit from your lecture. They will always remember the jokes you are making and they'll come to you because of those jokes. Because the lecture is so funny, you're going to mention something that will make them laugh. They are getting relief because of that, not because of the lessons they derive from the lectures. We have to be very careful. We don't have time to waste in this life. When you tell yourself you don't have time, wallahi, be honest. Is it really true that you don't have time? I believe 100% is not. You have time for Allah. But we don't want to give that time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the compensation in this dunya is not being seen by us. But we do have time. And actually the time is supposed to be dedicated to Allah first, before the dunya. But Allah is the most merciful. He knows our nature, so He did not ask you to give all of the time. He asked you to give a little. Very little out of 24 hours on the daily basis. Allah did not take more than 30 minutes actually. Go and calculate the time you spend when you pray. They are less than 30 minutes. The rest, Allah just asks you, just be honest to yourself, be kind to everyone, do this in the right way. That's it. To make sure that you enjoy life. You Allah, to make sure that you enjoy life. Because if you don't follow the system, you're going to pay the price in the future. So what I'm trying to say is, we should look at the attitude of our people nowadays, you know, and do this manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't make your lectures continuous. Continuous means every single day you have and every single hour you bring people back, they will get bored. They will get bored. And this is against the wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idati al hasana." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to invite people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil hikmah, with wisdom. Wal mu'idati al hasana. Al hikmah, this is the wisdom. Wisdom means wadu'u shay'i fi mahallihi sahih. Putting things in their proper place. Putting things in their proper places, this is wisdom. Wisdom means to put everything in its proper place. Whenever you hear hikmah, this is what it means. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're looking for wisdom, that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the real wisdom. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is full of wisdom. And there is an objective behind it. Everything. Whether we know it, we don't know it, doesn't matter. But Allah doesn't play. Because to do something without having any wisdom behind it, this is plain. And Allah doesn't do this. That's why according to the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, contrary to the Mu'tazila, that Allah, whatever He does, there is a wisdom behind it. There's a wisdom behind it. They don't agree with this. And Ahl Sunnah told them this is plain. Allah never did anything without wisdom. We might not know it, but it is there. We might not know it, but it is there. So Allah says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idati al hasana." Invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using what? Wisdom. Yeah. The methodology in da'wah should be based on wisdom. And my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, this is necessary. You should be very smart when you invite people. There is always a way to convey the truth. Yeah, I always mention this. But unfortunately, our shabab, sometimes they are so enthusiastic. You know, let me just say it, I don't care, you know. They like it, they don't like it, I don't care, you know. There is a story that I always quote, but there is no harm if we repeat it again. One of our scholars of hadith, he died recently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yarhamahu. He was saying that he was teaching in a classroom, and one of the young boys in the classroom, he said, "Sheikh, but these old people in the society, when we tell them to do something, you know, they chase you away. They said, we know how to do it even before your grandfather is born." He said, that was Sheikh, I was telling, Sheikh means an old man. I was telling him to do, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he chased me away. So Sheikh said, I asked the class, who's right? They said, of course, our friend is right, because he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the Sheikh said, to me, he's wrong. He said, how come he's wrong? He's saying قال رسول الله and he's wrong. He said, no, I'm not talking about قال رسول الله. I'm talking about the method he is approaching that person with. قال رسول الله is always haq. You know, there are people who will reject you if you say قال رسول الله, but أقسم بالله, that person, if he hears you saying that there is a hadith that is da'if, you know those people, sometimes they don't even agree that there is da'if hadith. They believe that whatsoever it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it, it should be correct. They don't care about whether it is authentic or not authentic, and they will never agree with you to say that this is weak. But then you begin to ask, but how come I told him yesterday قال رسول الله, he rejected. He was the one who was telling me that everything that is said to be said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be true. But now, how come he's rejecting this? And the first question is, I should question my method first. Only when I convey it in a nice way and he rejected it, then I will start to blame him. I should start to blame my method first. How did I fail in convincing him that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I like the question the Sheikh asked. He said, let me ask you something. He was asking the boy. He said, if you want to marry the daughter of this this old man that chased you away yesterday. How do you approach him? He said, I would be very humble, you know. He said, I brought him. His friend who was supporting him, they said, Kadham. They said, he's lying, Sheikh. He's lying. He would never go himself. He would choose from the family members the smartest one to go, because he's afraid of making it in the wrong way and then lose the girl. And then Sheikh said, oh, when it comes to your dunya, you know how to look for it. But when it comes to the deen, you don't care. You just go and throw it anyhow. Whether they accept, they don't accept, you don't care. E wallahi, this is who we are. He has a second funny example. He says, if you apply in a university, you know, I like this example. He said, if you apply in a university and you have to go through the rector, you have to apply through the rector of that university. And it happened that the rector of that university is kafir. This is non-Muslim university, right? You're applying, right? They told you it's part of our conditions that you have to write an application letter addressing the rector. What do you say in the first part of the lecture, the letter? Dear, do you say, dear kafir? I would like to join a university, although you're kuffar, but it's okay, you know? Do you do that? No, you don't. You said, dear sir, and you respect, and you do everything possible to make sure that you are accepted. So why, when it comes to your dunya, we always know how to look for it. But when it comes to the akhirah, we don't care. Wallahi, we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our da'wah, because you have so many people in our communities, wherever you go. Aqsimu billah, the vast majority of the things you think they are so simple and ABC in Islam, they don't know. And they are just looking for somebody who has simple heart, that is approachable, that can approach them with wisdom. They will listen. Not the person that will go and blame and fight. No. Understand that these people, if they don't do the correct thing, they might be going to hell. By getting them back to the track, you are saving them. So you should be more patient than them. Yeah, they might reject you. They might think that you come to say this and that. You know, just be patient. You will choose your word correctly and approach people. My experience in da'wah, you know, led me to conclude that most of the people have good in them. They have good. They just need somebody who is patient. They just need somebody who is patient and somebody who knows how to talk and somebody who understands how to address matters and when to approach people. There are inappropriate moments that when you go, 99% you will be rejected. What is the wisdom in this matter? Don't go at this moment. Wait first. Yeah. There are some moments when you talk, you will not be heard. And there are moments which are the best time for you to talk. And people will listen and they will understand. But unfortunately, we don't utilize this properly. So Allah says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idati al hasana." They mentioned that Imam Ahmad and Yahya bin Ma'in, Allahu alam, this is a famous story that we're told by our scholars of hadith. They said Imam Ahmad and Yahya bin Ma'in, one day they realized that there is an old man there who doesn't know how to pray. You know, life is just the same. You know, people they just have different features, but the same mentality from the past. 1,000 years ago, the same thing. If you read history properly, at-tarikhu yu'idu nafsahu, the same mentality is repeated. So they also don't know how to approach him because they are afraid of talking to him. He will tell them, I know how to pray more than your grandfather. I have been praying for ages. This is what has been repeated, you know. I know how to pray before your mother or your father is born, you know. So they decided to teach him, but in their own way. What did they do? They told themselves, if we go to him, he might not accept. So let us just pretend that we don't know how to pray and we're having a heavy argument, and go to him for a solution. So they go to him. Imam Ahmad told the man, he says, uncle, please help us here. Because I'm telling my friend that he doesn't know how to make wudu, and he's telling me I don't know how to make wudu. And I don't agree with his, he doesn't agree with mine. So, alhamdulillah, we saw you. Then we said, oh, our uncle is there. Let's go to him. He knows how to make wudu better than us. Probably, you know, he can guide us. So the man most likely started to have doubt. So he told one of them, make wudu, let's see. Imam Ahmad made wudu perfectly according to the sunnah. And then he told Ibn Ma'in, he said, you also make wudu. He also made it perfectly according to the sunnah. Subhanallah, they mentioned that that old man said to them immediately right after seeing them, he smiled. He says, both of you are better than me in making wudu. Subhanallah, they sent him the message, you know, in a very simple way. What do you need from people? To see them being guided. What do you need from them? To see them following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes you go to the people, okay, people don't want to see, don't want to hear anything from Abdurrahman. Sorry, Abdurrahman. Yeah, I go to them, but I know what he's saying is the absolute truth. What is the wisdom? I go and tell them, Qala Abdurrahman. Before I finish the statement, maybe two-thirds of them left the masjid already. What do? I will take the statement, I will keep him aside. I will tell him, Abdurrahman, we meet afterward, inshallah, I will apologize, but your name will not be inside there. I will just tell them the statement and keep quiet. Wallahi, I believe if all of us will take this manhaj, train yourself, always try to get something from Rasulullah. Just say, Qala Rasulullah. As long as you know that the Prophet ﷺ said it, attribute it to Rasulullah. You don't need to mention any other scholars in between. Why do you need to put somebody in between if you're sure that Rasulullah ﷺ was the one who said it? And the community, most of them, the vast majority, if not all of them, they will accept it if they know that Rasulullah ﷺ is the one who said it. But if I come to you and then I tell you, Imam Malik is wrong because Rasulullah ﷺ said this and that, I might be truthful and correct in my statement that that statement of Imam Malik is wrong because it contradicts this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But you know the audience, the moment I mention Imam Malik, they will start having issues with me. Why do you need to put him in the picture at the first place? Attribute the statement to Rasulullah ﷺ and that's it. People will take it and apply it and the case closed. But subhanAllah, we like to collide with people. And that's what creates problems. So wisdom is necessary in the da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Inshallah, I will continue to interpret this ayah in the next class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq in the dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Subhanallah. Any question?
There is a question from a brother. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Last week we answered a question regarding crying while praying. It's a sunnah to cry while reading the surah, but what if we can't understand because we don't know Arabic? If we cry because we are thinking of dua or just because we are sad in general and we are seeking help, is it still sunnah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu as-salamu al-mab'uthi rahmatin lil-alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Mabad. Somebody is asking about crying during the prayer. It's okay to cry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried when he was praying at night, reading the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He read this ayah, he stopped at this ayah and he cried a lot. Crying when reciting the Quran in general also is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the lessons and the effect. So that should be the basis of the crying. When somebody cries, that should be a reason. Understanding or the feeling of him meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. There has to be something, not just forcing himself to cry when he doesn't even know why is he crying. Yeah. It doesn't make that much of sense. It's better for him to focus on what he is reading rather than spending time crying and he doesn't know what is the source of crying. Why is he crying? You get it? But if he is crying because of the feeling that he has while he's praying about his mawqif ma'allahi azza wa jalla yawm al-qiyamah, that would be okay bi'iznillahi azza wa jalla, even if he doesn't know the meaning of what he is reading. Allah grant us good.
The second question is, Sheikh, from a brother. Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh. Regarding the tabi'i that was always present in the masjid before the adhan, is this better than praying sunnah at home?
No, I'm just addressing the matter of coming to the masjid on time, not missing the takbirat al-ihram. The sunnah, when it comes to the sunnah prayers, is to pray them at home. The wajibat to pray them in the masjid. But both are okay Islamically. If a person knows that, if he prays at home, he's going to lose the first line. It's better for him to come to the masjid and pray in the masjid, the sunnah, and get the first line, rather than praying at home and losing the first line and takbirat al-ihram because he delayed the coming to the masjid. Get it? But still, praying at home, in general, the sunnah prayers is better than praying them in the masjid, unless if you don't have, you will not have a chance to get the first line, then I will advise a person to come to the masjid and pray in the masjid, the sunnah prayers as well, and get the first line, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant you good and tawfiq in the dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.